Thanks for listening to the podcast from Faith Radio Mornings.
Start your day connecting faith to life with Faith Radio Mornings.
Let it rise.
Four minutes after the hour. Good morning. I say that with enthusiasm, I think. Let me start with a passage from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You are free from the law of sin and death. So that's an exciting and happy thought to be having this morning. I know that for a fact. This is Bill Arnold. And, you know, I was reading in the news just this morning that physicians have unveiled the world's first colonoscopy robot. Not that that procedure isn't, you know, nerve-wracking enough, but now we've got a robot. You know, I'd like you to meet your doctor. This is Leroy the robot. I don't think so. I think I'll pass on that one. And it's just been announced that the fifth and yet untitled Indiana Jones film will be released in 2020. And if it films in 2019, Harrison Ford, if he gets the job, which I assume he will, is expected to star in it. It will be 76 years old. So I'm just throwing in my two cents. The title might be Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Lost Beanie Babies. I don't know. Something like that. Anyway. We're going to take we're going to have a very interesting conversation this morning with Matt Sharp, and Matt is a hitter. He's got quite a resume. He fights for religious freedom, and sometimes you wonder when you go to work, what can you get away with? I mean, what can you stand and say, this is who I am, and I'm not backing down, and have that be acceptable? Because he does a lot of advocacy on behalf of people and defending their religious freedom. So we're going to talk to him just in a few minutes, and I'm very anxious. He's on our studio line already, so I'm looking forward to that. And so keep your dials, your dial right on Faith Radio, because you're going to want to hear what Matt has to say. We'll take a short break and be right back. Thanks for being with us this morning. Thanks for listening. We're so glad you're doing it. Be back in a minute. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks for starting your day with us. Bill Arnold here. I've got Matt Sharp on the studio line. He's a senior counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom, and he directs the Center for Legislative Advocacy. Now, Matt has been involved in so many cases, and he is a frontline guy. He's in the trenches fighting for religious freedom, especially when it comes to, defending in cases regarding religious clubs and, even if a person wanted to sing a religious song at a school talent show, he's everywhere. He's there fighting for you. Matt, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We have a lot in common. You went to law school. I was pre-law in college. So. And then when I got out, I tried to open up a pre-law firm. It didn't work.
That's right.
The only advice I could give my clients were, whoa, are you in trouble? That was it. That was the extent of my advice, whereas you're a lot more helpful, just so I want you to know.
I appreciate that.
You bet. I want to talk about religious freedom, and let's start with what is it like just to be in the trenches the way you are, fighting every day? It's got to be exhausting.
It is, but at the same time, it's incredibly refreshing, especially when you get to work for incredibly courageous individuals that are out there at public schools, at their workplace, trying to live out their faith. And so when the tiredness sets in, you have those moments where you just realize the incredible opportunity you get to stand beside these people. And so you had mentioned some of the cases I'd worked on with public school kids. Those are the ones that always energize me, because I feel – when I was 8 or 10 years old, I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor, but I don't feel like I was as nearly on fire for God as some of these kids are that are proud of their faith, wanting to share it with others and win their schools for Christ.
That's awesome. Let's talk a little bit about the religious liberty in the new president's first 100 days in his administration. How are you feeling about that?
Well, there's been some great things. The first thing I would start off with, it's a definite change from the previous 8 years. A lot of us had been troubled by what we saw in the Obama administration with just a constant attack on religious freedom, constant efforts to undermine religious freedom, to impose burdens on religious organizations. I think the peak of that was forcing a group of nuns, the Little Sisters of the Poor, to pay for abortion-inducing drugs. And so what we're seeing under the Trump administration is a very different take on all of that. He has talked about religious liberty. He campaigned on the idea that it was going to be a first priority. And he's definitely taking a few steps along those lines. He rolled back the gender identity guidance document from President Obama that had told schools they have to allow boys in the girls' locker rooms. President Trump rolled that back. And then just last week, he issued an executive order that had some really great language in it and some sort of commitments to do some things. But what it lacked and what we're hoping to see more of is sort of putting meat on them bones and really enshrining some protections in the law.
So when we get up and go to work every day, and there are obviously restrictions, it depends on what kind of company you work in, but there are you are discouraged oftentimes from expressing any kind of spiritual or religious orientation or having something in your cube. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it shouldn't be that way, right?
I agree.
Our religious freedom is our religion is something that impacts every aspect of our life. It's not confined to our homes or to the four walls of the church, but it should impact everything we do. And that's where, like you said, it's one of the big battlefields right now is to what extent can my religion follow me to work? And we say it should always follow you to work. And so that's why we're standing with some of the Christian bakers and florists and others in the wedding industry that are saying, we'll serve anybody that walks into our shop. If you walk in and want to buy a bouquet of flowers, we don't care if you're straight, gay, lesbian, whatever. But when you ask us to become a participant in a same-sex wedding ceremony, that crosses the line for us. That's where in our work life, we have to draw a line and say, we can't do that. We had another example of a gentleman up in Michigan that owns a meat processing facility. And employees, you know, many people. Well, he had put an article on a break room table talking about traditional marriage. And an inspector from the USDA, the organization charged with inspecting meat, was now inspecting his religious beliefs, didn't like that article and confronted him and said, if we ever see that on the table again, we're shutting you down. That's unacceptable. That should never be the case that you can't even discuss religious ideas at work for fear of the government coming after you. But those are the situations we're seeing and why we are fighting so vigilantly to make sure that you never feel like you have to leave your religion at home.
Mm-hmm. What about like when Bruce Springsteen didn't like the gender bathroom issue in North Carolina? So he decided, nope, I'm not even coming to do my concert there. I'm canceling it. How is that okay?
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be a two-way street. Do I think Bruce Springsteen should have the freedom to do that? Yeah. But I think also businesses that want to have good policies or entertainers that say, you know, we don't like this state's policy, we don't want to go there because of our religious beliefs, need to have the same freedom to do so. But what we're seeing is the exact opposite is Bruce Springsteen is celebrated, but then when a school in Ohio, like one we're representing, says, you know what? There's biological differences between boys and girls. We need to make sure that our kids are protected, that they're not forced to share these intimate spaces. They get sued. And that's what's problematic to me, is that there's a one-way tolerance, that you tolerate the left, you tolerate those that are opposed to religious freedom, you tolerate those that are pushing an LGBT agenda, but then there's no tolerance for those that hold to traditional views about marriage or that those that hold to biblical values. That's the problem. That's what we are losing in so much of the quote-unquote progress that's being made, is a tolerance for people of good faith that hold to biblical values, that hold to religious values, and that want to just be free to live out those values in their work and life.
Mm-hmm. Matt, I just think it would be a great idea if we just learned to kind of celebrate everybody's faith and allow them to do what they felt they wanted to do and what they felt was in their heart. I mean, to me, I think it'd be a happier world. But when we come back, when we come back, I want to ask more about that, because I think if you're a Muslim newspaper publisher, can you be forced to publish Charlie Hebdo cartoons? And they say, no, you must publish those. So, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that we can talk about. When we come back, more with Matt Sharp. It is 15 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back. Good morning. So glad you're with us today. Bill Arnold here. I am talking to Matt Sharp. And Matt paid attention in school, which I love, whereas I did not. But anyway, Matt, I want to ask you about the executive order that the president gave. Really, what does it do, and should it have gone further?
Yeah. So the executive order did three things. It started off with a statement directing the federal agencies to respect religious freedom. So a very good statement of sort of the policy of the administration. Second, it dealt with the Little Sisters of the Poor situation, and it directed Health and Human Services to consider some regulations, some rules, something that would give relief to all of the religious organizations that don't want to have to pay for abortion-inducing drugs mm-hmm. as part of their insurance plans. And then the final part dealt with the Johnson Amendment. This is a 50-year-old rule dealing with pastors being able to talk about political issues from the pulpit. And it said the IRS needs to essentially lay off and make sure that pastors and churches aren't being punished for what's being said from the pulpit. So these are all good things. But again, there wasn't much more than that. And so a lot of the big issues that we're facing right now, dealing with, you know, the bakers and the florists, dealing with government employees and their religious freedom, dealing with a lot of the big issues, there wasn't a lot of help there for those specific issues. What was troubling was we had seen an earlier draft. There had been one floated in February that actually was much broader and had a lot of very strong protections in it. And unfortunately, a lot of those were taken out, stripped out over the months until the final order was released last week. What our hope is that this was just a first step, and that we're going to see more and more protections be rolled out. That's what we're praying and hoping for in all of this, and that this was just a taste of things to come.
Mm-hmm. Matt, are there any good bills in the works that we should look to?
Absolutely. A couple of big ones I'd emphasize. One, it's called the First Amendment Defense Act. And essentially what it says is that the government can't punish people because of their religious beliefs about a variety of issues, including marriage and gender identity and some of those things. That one is going to be a very huge, very important bill that would provide a lot of protections to a lot of individuals that are needing it right now. So that's one of the ones. The other one, there was actually a hearing on it last week, but it's called the Free Speech Fairness Act, and it would provide concrete protections to pastors and churches, allowing them to be able to speak about political, social, moral issues from the pulpit and in their programs so that the church can do what it was designed to do, which is to be a compass, a moral compass for our society, and be able to even talk about political issues. So those are ones I would encourage everybody to check out and find out more information about.
You know, Matt, I know that when people listen to the show, because they consume radio usually one at a time, which means they're in their car driving or getting ready for work. And the burning question is always, you know, what can I do? What is one thing a listener can do to really help protect religious liberty? And I guess the bigger question is, what can they do that would actually be effective?
Yeah, two things I would actually recommend. Number one, live it out. One of the most concerning things we're seeing is religious individuals do exactly what the opposition wants us to do, is leave their faith at home. Mm. And so it's troubling how many times I'll get a call from a parent saying, now, I know there's a separation of church and state, and my child can't share their faith at school. And I say, no, that's the last thing you ought to do. If we're not living out our faith, if we're not expressing it in our work, in our school, and in other places like that, then we're giving the other side what they want, which is Christians being silent.
Yeah.
And so I would say live it out. And the second thing I would do is we've got to tell the stories of the people that are being impacted by these bad laws, by this loss of religious freedom. We've got to put a face with the persecution that is happening in America, again, Baronelle Stutzman, our florist in Washington State, and others like that, because I think the more people understand the impact it has when we start stripping away religious freedom, the more we're going to see the tide turn and a proper understanding, a proper respect for religious freedom be restored.
Yeah, Matt, we've got about 90 seconds left, but I'd love to hear one really happy story that you were involved with that brought about a really joyful conclusion.
Yeah, my favorite one, it's a young girl named Katie Ayers in Pennsylvania, had been wanting to invite some of her friends to a church Christmas party. The school said no. We filed a lawsuit. It actually went all the way up to the Court of Appeals, got a very sweeping ruling protecting her right to do so. But my favorite part of the story is after the case was won, she invited some friends to school, and one of her classmates came to a church event, and the classmate and their whole family ended up accepting Christ. And
wow.
That's ultimately why I do what I do, because it's not just about rights, but it's about the eternal benefits of what we do when we're boldly preaching the gospel.
That is a great story, Matt. I so appreciate you sharing that one. And your parents must be proud of young Matt Sharp.
Well, I'm honored to do what I do, and they raised me well.
Yeah, no kidding. But I appreciate you coming on, and is there a place that you blog, or is there another place we can go or read about your work?
Absolutely. We have a website, adflegal.org. You can learn more about our cases, how to get involved, and we absolutely have a blog that I and several of our other attorneys regularly post on about our cases and our efforts there.
That would be very interesting. Thank you for sharing that, and we will stay in touch. I so appreciate you coming on the show. Have a great week.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Matt Sharp, it's 23 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and be right back. It is half past the hour. I'm so glad you're listening this morning. Bill Arnold here, and we are looking at coming up on our news break. And to get things started, Harvard is considering removing Christian lyrics to a traditional song. Hard to believe that was a university founded on Christian values, and all of a sudden they want to get rid of it. Ah. So we got to keep fighting for our faith and standing strong. And sometimes that's a hard thing to do. So anyway, know that you will be persecuted, because that's what the Bible teaches. So we're going to take a little news break. When we come back, I'm going to talk to Ron Deal from Blended Families, and we're going to talk about Mother's Day, which is coming up Sunday. Better start shopping. Until the top of the hour. Pastor Chip Ingram says we need to be transformed by renewing our minds. He says this starts with changing the way we think.
It's renewing your mind. It's changing your thinking. Our thinking always precedes our emotions and our behavior. And most people are trying to change by focus on their behavior. Stop doing this. Start doing that. It doesn't work. Or at least their emotions. I need to feel better. But the fact is that our thinking is at the core of all life change, all transformation. And so scripture memory is just the fastest, most powerful, most effective way to have your thinking. I mean, Paul in Philippians 4 says, think on the things that are lovely, holy, honorable, pure. Follow my example. Colossians 3, set your mind on the things that are above. Romans 5, the mind set on the flesh, death. The mind set on the spirit, life and peace. As a man thinks in his heart, Proverbs, so he or she becomes. So for me, more than even the practice, it's if you understand that as you memorize scripture, you're renewing your mind, then supernatural your behavior will start to change almost, not, I don't mean without trying, but we're a product of our thought life.
Thank you, Chip. You can find that full interview on our website at myfaithradio.com. I bet if you type in changing your thinking, we'll get right to it. Next up, Ron Deal. We'll be back in just a minute.
Have you ever noticed that teens who are irresponsible and unmotivated often have parents who are just the opposite? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Hardworking moms and dads often have a tendency to be overly responsible for their children's lives. Rather than letting their kids take care of their own problems, mom and dad immediately volunteer to step in and help. But there's one thing these parents don't realize. The more that mom and dad do for their child, the less their child has to do for himself. So has your teen figured out that he can be immature and irresponsible as long as mom and dad are there to rescue him? It's time to let go, step back, and give him the space he needs to foster independence.
Mark Gregston has prepared a brand new resource to help parents draw their teens closer, not push them away. Download your free copy online at parentingtodaysteens.org.
Good morning. If you are still thinking about what to get mom for Mother's Day, I'll throw out an idea. I don't know if this is a good idea or not. Neiman Marcus has a pair of sneakers, $1,425. That is, that's what they're charging for a pair of sneakers that appear to look like they've been chewed by a dog or run over by a lawnmower. That's the new look. It's that ragtag, distressed-looking sneakers. So for nearly $1,500, you can get one of those. You know, for $500, I'll run over a pair of sneakers with my lawnmower and sell them to you. Just email me at bill@myfaithradio.com. I will get you those sneakers as fast as I can get out my lawnmower and get it fired up. Anyway, when it comes to blended families, it always makes special event days like Mother's Day, Father's Day, a little bit on the tricky side. So I'm asked Ron Deal to come on board and talk about what it's like for a stepmom. Ron, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. I got to tell you, my wife is not getting those shoes from Neiman Marcus.
It's so ridiculous.
Although it did give me an idea because my understanding, according to one survey, is that the number one thing that moms want on Mother's Day is something homemade. So if you took some sneakers and you threw them under your lawnmower, that would be homemade, right?
This is why we do this, Ron, this show. We are a think tank, you and me. We got to start our own company.
There you go.
Yeah, enough of this radio talk. Let's get going.
Oh, man. Mother's Day for stepmoms.
Yeah.
Is a bit of a mixed bag, I think. Let me be very clear. There are some stepmoms who have marvelous experiences and great relationships with their stepchildren, and they're looking forward to Mother's Day just like everybody else. It's, you know, a day to be treated special and showered with gratitude. But there are other stepmoms who are really ambivalent about the day, and many tell me it's the worst day of the year for them. And it's just because it's such an odd day. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever, like, you know, walked into a situation where somebody with a group of people were having a little party or there was something going on and you weren't invited? And so you kind of found yourself in the middle of it, and you're going, oh, this is awkward.
Yeah,
you
welcome,
know what I'm talking about?
Welcome to my world.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm never invited.
I'm sorry, Bill. We'll get you some therapy.
That's all right. Can we do it soon?
So here's the point. If you've ever felt that, that's kind of what Mother's Day is like for a lot of stepmoms. It is somebody else's party. They're not really invited. They're kind of invited. Somebody invited them. You know, their husband invited them, so to speak. But at the same time, they feel like they're out of place, like they don't belong there. And that is such an awkward feeling. You know, if the church does something special on Sunday morning to honor the mothers that are there, do they stand up? Do they raise their hand? Do they say, yeah, I'm part of this club? Or are their stepchildren looking at them like, no, you're not my mom? Or how dare you, you know, disrespect my mother? You know, she's my mother. You're not my mother. You trying to take her place? So there's all of this kind of head thinking. Do I belong here or do I not belong here? And so that just makes it a challenging day.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm a stepmom, which I'm clearly not, but if I'm trying to reduce some of my own anxiety about this weekend and this day. Mm-hmm. Because I would assume at some point I have to do some kind of self-soothing because you're not going to get it from too many outside sources. What would be a step I could do? What are a couple things I could do?
But first of all, again, let me just go back and say, if stepmom's listening to us right now, and anybody who knows and cares for a stepmom listening, is mindful that intuitively she knows whether Sunday's going to be a hard day or an easy day, right? Mm-hmm. So if things are going well in her family, then it's going to be a good day. If things are tense and ambiguous, then it's going to be a perhaps challenging day. So if she knows that's what's coming, I would encourage her to do a couple things. Number one, lower her expectations. You know, somewhere deep inside, she desperately wants the children to just be thankful and, you know, do something to honor her. You know, I hate to say it, but I would encourage her to let that go. Mm. I wrote a book called The Smart Stepmom with Laura Petherbridge, and Laura's advice to stepmoms, as a stepmom speaking to stepmoms, she says, just don't have any expectations on Mother's Day. It just saves you a lot of disappointment. So that's number one. Number two is you can expect something from your husband. And here's where I'm talking to the men, you know, dad, man, take care of your woman, you know, honor her, praise her, do what you want to do. That's a very genuine expression of your heart for her. And you can express that gratitude for what she does for your children in front of your children. That would be fine for them to hear that. We're just not necessarily going to expect them to be overflowing. We want it to be genuine, nothing false, right? But it's mm-hmm. genuine from him. So I think she can look to her husband for that sort of support. And I would say to the guys, man, don't drop the ball on this one, right? Because mm-hmm. if nobody else honors her, you can and should.
So, Ron, what I'm hearing is managing expectations is awfully important. I think it's C.S. Lewis has that brilliant illustration in one of his books about before you enter a room, you're told it's a honeymoon suite. You open the door and you go, wow, what a dump. But before entering the same room, you're told it's a prison cell. You walk in there and go, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
It's all your expectations.
Exactly. That's a good analogy. So if you set yourself up with a lot of hope for what will happen, you know, that's just challenging. Now, let me just throw another twist into this, because for some stepmoms, they are also biological mothers. They have children of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And so they probably will get honor from their kids, right? Now, I say probably because there's bound to be a couple of teenagers out there who don't want to honor their mother on Mother's Day, but they'll probably get something there. And that's another place that the stepmom can look for it, right? You can expect it from your kids. It's just don't set yourself up for a big disappointment with your stepchildren if you intuitively know, hey, look, this is a, you know, we're kind of in a tough place, and so I'm not going to expect it. Again, if you have a great relationship with them, then the day should be a joyful one anyway.
Mm-hmm. Ron, my little theory, it's probably not mine, but it's like every holiday of some kind has a magnifying glass on it. Everything looks a little bit bigger. Everything looks a little bit more dramatic. And I think getting back to expectations that it's easy for stepmoms to be hurt if they aren't paid attention to and aren't given a certain measure of respect and love. So I think your advice to the dad is really critical because it's going to be modeling in front of the kids pretty important lessons.
Yeah, great illustration. It does have a magnifying glass on it. Special days, holidays, those are days we just expect a lot out of people and family and the day itself. And so, you know, look for it from the appropriate places. Don't look for it from places where it's just not there. It's okay. You know, here's the thing that I want to say to people. A few years ago, I wrote an article called, you know, Stepmom to Stepmom Sharing Experiences on Mother's Day. And one of the things we did is just polled people on Facebook and said, what's your experience like on Mother's Day? And just like we've said, the responses ran the gamut. There were people who had a great day. There were people in the mixed bags category of some things went well and some things didn't go well. And then there were other people in that, man, heartache. You know, it was just a hard, difficult day for me. The people who have the rewards are often the stepmoms who have been doing this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, your persistence and patience and sticking with it may take years, perhaps, for something to really reveal itself, but there is reward. So if this coming Sunday is not great for you, hold on, hang on, persist, keep going, trust God with every step, and just, you know, believe and trust that there will come a payoff, a day where all of the hard work has added up to some reward.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ron, I'm going to take a little break, but when I come back, I want to ask about honoring thy father and mother, especially thy mother, on this coming up Sunday, and what does that mean for adult children? So we'll take a short break and be back more with Ron Deal in just a moment. Minutes in front of the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here talking to Ron Deal. Ron, I got a lot of material to cover, so let's get at it here. What about honoring thy mother for adult children? What does that mean?
Well, again, honoring your mom is appropriate. Honoring your stepmom is find a way to articulate something genuine for her,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, let's just go from low to high. If you have a fabulous relationship with your stepmom, it's going to be an easy day. You can find something that honors her, shower her with gifts, take her out to eat, spend the day with her, something. If you have a difficult, awkward relationship, I would, you know, find something that though is a genuine expression of your gratitude for something she does. So it might be just a sign of respect. It might just be a word of appreciation. It might be like a friend to friend type of a gratitude for something that she has done for you or as doing for your dad, right? The point to me is be genuine in it. And don't be false. Don't contrive it.
Mm-hmm.
Be genuine in it. Now, you may have to push yourself a little bit because I do think there is reason to show honor to somebody, even if you're not necessarily in favor of everything that's happened or how it happened or whatever that situation is, you can find something to show great gratitude for. And that would be my encouragement to adult children.
Okay, let me ask you about, I'm going to sidetrack just a little bit, but just due to the nature of the holiday on Sunday, there's going to be many women who have always wanted to be a mother who are not.
Mm.
And there is
mm-hmm.
going to be an acute pain possibly or a sadness.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a reason to avoid going to church on Sunday.
Yep. Yeah, that's very true. Some of those people are stepmoms. They just don't have any biological children of their
mm-hmm.
own. Some of
yes.
them are women who perhaps have never been married or, you know, whatever the situation is. Yes. I think that's true of any particular holiday. Somebody wishes they were in with that in crowd
mm-hmm.
and they're really on the outside for whatever reason. And it is difficult. By the way, there. Loss is also part of the reason that it's difficult for children sometimes to show honor to their stepmom. They feel like they're being disloyal to their biological mother, who may be deceased or perhaps lives elsewhere
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason. And so it feels weird, right, to extend gratitude or appreciation in this direction when my heart is aching over that. I do think that I was in ministry for 20 years of my life in local church ministry, and I was well aware because I was always in charge of Mother's Day and Father's Day. I was always aware that there were people that were hurting. I think it behooves churches and church leaders to actually acknowledge that on some level, to talk about that. In our congregation this morning, there are people here who are, you know, looking forward to the day, and there are people here who are sad about the day for whatever reason. And we just acknowledge that, and we just want to say God is with you, and we're just praying his peace over you. I think it's important to say things like that because, number one, you normalize it. You acknowledge for that woman who's sitting there, and she is in distress over the day.
Mm-hmm.
You give her a little cup of water, and it helps just a little. Does it fix it? Absolutely not, but it's a verbal hug. And so I think that's really important for church leaders to try to do. We have to balance our conversation to people, whether that's publicly or privately, and just make space for all sorts of experiences on a day like Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm. Ron, I'm also curious, as I continue to digress a little bit, about the couples who might not be able to have kids. And again, they're in a difficult situation because they long for it, and it's not happening.
Yeah. I would say do some self-care. I mean, I am not opposed at all to people saying, you know what, we're taking a break. We're not going to church because it's just going to be an overwhelming day. You know, there's lots of legitimate reasons why, you know, heartache and pain wells up on a day like Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So find something that is helpful for you to do on that day. You might spend the day serving somebody, you know, visiting another family member. You know, there's lots of ways you can spend the day. And by the way, that's on purpose, what I just said. Serving another person helps you to kind of get outside of yourself, at least for a brief moment. And it actually kind of helps you get through the day. Now, my wife and I lost a child 8 years ago.
I'm
we
so
lost
sorry.
Our 12-year-old son. And I can tell you, Mother's Day is a difficult day for my wife.
Mm.
And we will, especially in the early years after our son died, we would find anything else to do, anywhere else to be than at church on that day. And frequently serving other people, finding something to get outside of ourselves just helped us get through it. And I would encourage anybody who is really facing a hard day this week, do that. Make plans right now. You're going to go down to the downtown children's ministry program, and you're going to spend the day playing with kids. You know,
mm-hmm.
you're going to do Legos. You know, you're going to be your worship for the day.
Mm-hmm.
It makes the time go fast. It gets you through those hard moments. And next thing you know, it's Monday, and you're kind of back to doing life.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. I really believe that.
So what about maybe sitting down and putting a name on a piece of paper, or someone that you know who's a stepmom who might be in a very mm-hmm. difficult situation, and you kind of know as a result of this conversation that we're having that they may not get all they need. So if we're going to be a support and a friend, maybe we can take time to get a card or write a note,
yeah.
and that it arrives on Saturday, and it just is...
Mm-hmm.
Just gives them an opportunity to feel a little bit blindsided by some love they didn't see coming.
I think it's a wonderful idea. And there are, you know, dads and moms, mother-in-laws, grandmothers who are listening to this who are thinking, you know what, I've got a granddaughter who's a stepmom. I've got a granddaughter-in-law, whatever that is. You
mm-hmm.
know, I should just do something to acknowledge and show my appreciation. They may not be getting it from the children, but they can get it from somebody who sees all the sacrifice they're making, all the choices that they're making to love and provide and give day after day when they get very little in response from the kids. That goes a long ways toward
yeah.
just hugging somebody's heart.
It really does. That is money in the emotional bank account. I'm pretty sure of that, Ron.
Yeah, well said.
I always appreciate your perspective. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and I'm always learning from you. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, have a great week, and happy Mother's Day to your loved ones.
Thanks.
Yep. 4 minutes in front of the top of the hour, so we'll be back in just a minute.
We're connecting faith and life together.
I was just scanning the radio, and Pastor Colin was on, and I heard his voice start speaking about Jesus, and I stopped at that station, and ever since then, it's been about 9 months. It's literally like the only station I listen to now. Thank you for the station and all the word that you spread to us, you know?
It's the intersection of faith and life. Faith Radio.
All right, a couple minutes in front of the top of the hour. I hope your day has started well. Thank you for being with us on Faith Radio. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us. We can't do any of this without you. So thank you. I'm going to leave you with Romans 8, 38, 39. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have a great day, everybody. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this Faith Radio Mornings podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make your gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Faith Radio Mornings, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or on your podcast player. And thanks for sharing the audio link with a friend and growing the impact of Faith Radio Mornings.